I hate to admit this in public, but I am a fan of the heavy metal rock band called AC/DC. Now, their songs are not always very moral or even especially very musical, but I fell in love with them when I heard their hit song, Back in Black. I play that song whenever I return from vacation and put on my black clergy clothes. Back in Black. Now you know the real Father John. The band also released a very thought-provoking song in 1984 called Who Made Who? The lyrics leave the listener pondering not only about the relationship between man and technology, which is what the song is ostensibly about, but also asks the broader question of the relationship between someone who creates and what they make. Whenever you create something, you become inevitably entangled in your creation to such an extent that it becomes difficult to tell who made who. Listen to the refrain from the song. Who made who? Who made you? Who made who? Ain't nobody told you? Who made who? Who made you? If you made them and they made you, who picked up the bill and who made who? Ain't nobody told you? The Renaissance painter Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel. It was his creation. But didn't that painting also sort of make Michelangelo very famous? Everyone has heard of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. But didn't the sublime beauty of that symphony also make Beethoven a household name? When I published a book of homilies, a friend said that you reveal a little of yourself through your writing. Now some people only know me through my book, and Lord only knows what they think about me. Whenever we create something, make something, that new creation also creates us a little bit. And we wonder, who made who? Our scriptures today wrestle with the question of death. You might say the biblical authors pose the question to death, who made you? The Old Testament book of Wisdom gives a clear and categorical answer to that question. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. That is, God did not create death because he doesn't want to get tangled up with it. He doesn't want to dirty his hands with death. A few verses later, we see who is responsible for death. We read, "By the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it." In other words, death was ushered into the world by the devil. And therefore, death and the devil are hopelessly entangled and entwined. Sadly, death also entangles all those who walk in the company of the devil, those who do evil. This explains why Jesus treats death so differently than his contemporaries did. When our Lord enters the room of Jairus' deceased daughter, he simply says, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." Jesus does not cower or cringe or even cry in the face of death. Why? Because he had nothing to do with its creation. And therefore, it has nothing to do with him. It cannot touch him. Jesus came rather to disentangle man from death. As Psalm 124, verse 7 says, "We escaped with our lives like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare was broken and we escaped." If we were to ask the specter of death, "Who made you?" The inspired authors of Scripture would answer, "Death came from the devil, not from God." And thus, eternally entangled the devil and his followers with death. Whatever we create, in a sense, also creates us. Whenever we ask, "Who made you?" My friends, how do you look at death? The way we look at death says not only something about death itself, but also something about us. That is, it reveals in whose company we walk. Sometimes we look at death as if it were our greatest enemy, and we try to do everything to postpone it or to forget about it altogether. It's just too scary. I was talking to an altar server some months ago before Mass one day, and I asked him, "Do you know how old I am?" He suspected that was a trap, and so he guessed low. 29 years old? I said, "That's very close. I'm 48. Then I asked him, "Do you think that's old?" He answered very diplomatically, "Not really." Then I probed a little further. "Do you think you'll ever be 48 years old?" And he immediately shot back without hesitation, "No way." He dropped all diplomacy and gave me an honest answer. He couldn't imagine being 48 years old. And he certainly could not imagine death. That's how most of us think about death. That is, we don't think about it because it's too scary. But how differently Jesus looked at death, as little more than sleep. In fact, he got quite perturbed with people making a lot of commotion about death. Now, I don't mean to sound judgmental or critical of anyone who is overcome with sorrow when a loved one passes away. I felt that grief myself when my nephew died. That's very normal and a healthy sign of deep loss and love. Nevertheless, as we walk in the company of Christ, a slow but steady change overcomes us, especially regarding death. Fear gives way to faith, and everything and everyone begins to look a little different. We are beginning to see as God sees, and that's the definition of faith. When faith fills our eyes, death does not seem so devastating, but little more than a long afternoon nap. So if we asked death, "Who made you?" the scriptures resoundingly answer, "Death comes from the devil and entangles him and all his followers for all eternity. But for those who keep the company of Christ, death will only seem like sleep." Whenever I go to someone's home for supper and it's time for the kids to go to bed, I hug them and I whisper in their ear, "Sleep with the angels. Don't let them push you out of bed." That's what death feels like for a Christian. Praised be Jesus Christ.